Well, this afternoon, if you would turn with me in your Bibles, I apologize. We have three places to turn this afternoon. There's a lot, and I'll be even speaking on many other passages throughout the sermon today. But I pray that these would be good places to start to look at the Word of God as we look to this first statement of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. So we're going to look at, read first Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to look at John 14, verses 7 through 11, and then we're going to turn to Job 40, and we're going to read verses 6 through 14. So you can find them listed there in your Bibles. That's Psalm 19, 1 through 6, John 14, 7 through 11, and Job 40, verse 6 through 14. But before we read, let's come before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your word this afternoon, as we turn to it, and as we study who you are, as we look to the creed as a summary of what we believe, we pray that through your word and through your spirit, that you would show us more clearly, that you would strengthen our faith in articulating what we believe, that we would have greater confidence in who you are and what you are doing, that we would see the great love indeed of you to us, your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. And now turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we'll read verses 7 through 11. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now turning to the book of Job. Job 40. I'm actually just going to back up one verse to verse 5 of chapter 40. We'll see that Job has been saying lots of things to the Lord, and we will see the Lord's response. So in verse 5, we read, Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. May God add blessing to his holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Congregation, over the next 16 weeks or 4 months, we're going to be using the Apostles' Creed as a guide in studying the glorious work of our triune God. In the fall of 2024, Pastor Kingswood, Murray, and myself divided up the Apostles' Creed and preached through this creed as a sermon series at Grace in Woodstock. We believe that the series was well received and it was a blessing to the congregation. So we thought it might be wonderful to study it here together. The only difference is Pastor Murray and myself are splitting up the sermons that Pastor Kingswood covered at Grace. But saying that, brothers and sisters, we live in strange days, don't we? And I mean strange. Most scholars will agree that we live in a postmodern society. What is postmodernism, you ask? That's a great question. So here are some of the very basic tenets of postmodernism. The first thing is that truth is relative. The postmodern will say that the truth is not objective, but rather that truth is shaped by personal experience, history, gender, culture, etc. For example, religion may be seen as a truth, but not the truth. Second, postmodernism rejects meta-narratives, meaning a skepticism of overarching stories like progress, science, and religion that explain everything. Third, an emphasis on the individual and diversity, which is an emphasis on personal narratives, subjective experiences, identity politics, and diverse viewpoints. These are just a couple of the aspects of postmodernism. And I do not think anyone here will debate that we have seen this in the news, in media, and in our culture. And believe it or not, these things have crept into the church. Or the church has been led to believe that we must be silent on what we believe. Congregation, there is nothing subjective about what we believe. What we believe is the very word of God, which is absolute truth. So that's what we're going to do over the next 4 months, looking at what we believe. And I will ask you this afternoon as we get started in this series, what do you believe? And a question that you might have for me this afternoon is this: what exactly are creeds and confessions? What are their place? Creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. And creeds are often shorter, ecumenical confessions of the Christian church worldwide. Whereas a confession means to say with, and they're typically longer and in more detail. And there's a trend that's going on, that has been going on in the church over the past 200 years or so, but its roots are actually further back than that. Have you ever heard the statement, "No creed but Christ"? One of the authors I was reading through was contrasting this statement to where we are in postmodernism and in relation to the creeds and confessions. This movement rejects formal creedal and confessional statements, such as the Apostles' Creed and the Westminster Confession of Faith. This belief system has a belief that having no creeds will lead to greater ecumenical unity. However, there's a glaring error in this assumption. We are told in the scriptures, we're explicitly told in the scriptures that we are to confess our faith. We're told in several places, and I'll look at some of them this afternoon, that we are to confess what we believe. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." When someone asks you, "What do you believe?" it is impossible to answer that question coherently without a creedal statement. If you say, "I believe in Jesus," what does that mean? What do you mean? How many people believe that Jesus was a real man? Most people agree that Jesus was a real historical person. But what about Jesus? You might say, "I believe Jesus was God and man." You are now forming creedal statements. If a person is advocating no creed but Christ, they're advocating a blind, non-intellectual faith. And that, at its essence, is impossible. At the root, at the very root of faith is knowledge. We know what we believe. Brothers and sisters, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church is unapologetically a confessional church. That is who we are. We confess that the Word of God speaks on these things. And we summarize them. I believe. So just before we dive in, the Apostles' Creed is actually a very old creed. Some put it at about 150 AD, but the final form that we have today was solidified by before the year 600 AD. And it was most likely formulated as a teaching tool for converts and for those making profession of faith that one would make before baptism. Jesus says in the Great Commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Hence, we have a Trinitarian statement of faith. I believe. So the Apostles' Creed is not scripture, but we believe that this is what the scripture teaches. This is the essence of the Christian faith. So essential, in fact, that if you do not believe in even one of these statements in this creed, of the Apostles' Creed, you are not a Christian. You are something else. We may quibble on a statement or two in the Westminster Confession of Faith, depending what we're quibbling on, and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you disagree with one of these statements, you have created your own man-made religion, and you do not have faith in Jesus Christ. So this afternoon, I'd like to look with you in four brief points, the first statement of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And we're going to see this First, the statement, I believe. Second, I believe in God, and we're going to look at Psalm 19, verse 1 through 6. Third, Father, and we're going to look at John 14, verse 7 through 11. And then Almighty, Job 40, verses 6 through 14. So first, I believe. I believe. The Apostles' Creed is a profession of faith. This is a statement to what you profess to put your trust in, your faith in. In the book of Matthew, Jesus asks his disciples a question of who he is. Matthew 16, 16, Jesus says, Simon Peter answers Jesus and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter responds with a creedal statement. Peter is responding in faith. Peter is proclaiming, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can dissect that statement and see a lot of what we are professing in the Apostles' Creed. But what I want to focus here on is Peter's faith. Peter is not just saying, my knowledge tells me that you are the Christ. Peter is also not saying, you are the Christ, but I'm not sure if you are my Christ. Peter is professing Jesus to be his Christ. How do we know that? Because Jesus tells us that in the very next verse. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You've heard me say this before. There are three components to faith, to saving faith: knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge. You must know what you believe. This is why the statement, no creed but Christ, is a complete fallacy. The most fundamental aspect of faith is knowledge. There's no such thing as faith without knowledge. We know what we believe. And Paul proclaims this knowledge. You are the Christ. So that's first, knowledge. Second, assent. You must believe what you have learned is true. If you do not believe Jesus to be the Christ, then that knowledge does not do you any good. And there are some, even in our Reformed circles, in our Reformed churches, this is as far as they stop. They say, I know Jesus is the Savior of sinners, but I cannot be sure if he is my Savior. This is called a historic confession. And it's not a confession of faith at all. It's not a profession of faith at all. Satan himself can make this statement. Satan knows and believes in God. He knows of Jesus. He knows it's all true. Just not for him. So although believing it to be true is essential, you still need one more thing for saving faith. Trust. You need to believe that Jesus is your Savior, that he died for you on the cross. And trust, this third aspect of saving faith, only comes from God himself. Just as Jesus tells Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So I'll ask you all this afternoon, can you profess, I believe? Can you profess that Jesus is your Savior? When you read this creed, do you believe this to be true for you? Everyone who calls on Christ must profess, as we've heard Jesus say already. And this profession of faith is when we call upon Jesus in faith, we're saved. And it's also the admission to the communicant membership of Christ's church. So that's I believe. So let's pick up the pieces as we keep going. Second, I believe in God. I believe in God. Is this necessary to state? Yes, it is. It is necessary to state. In this society, many people are atheists, or they would like to believe they're atheists. They do worship something, family, themselves, science, or money, whatever the case is. I've been having several conversations lately with people from mainline churches, and I'll tell you a sad, sad story. They don't know what they believe. They don't know what they believe. When I talk to them about their faith, they talk about family, they talk about goodness, they talk about being blessed, but they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They do not know what they believe, or they don't believe at all. I believe in God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is one God in three persons. We do not believe in a God for this and a God for that. We believe that there is one God, one supreme and mighty God," which we will look at more specifically next week. This afternoon, we read together from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. And what does David tell us in these verses? That nature itself proclaims that there is a God and proclaims his glory. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 1 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Every single man is without excuse. There is a God. So again, for the sake of ecumenical unity, when we say no creed but Christ, where are we? If we say, "I believe in God," what do you mean by that? Allah? What about the Unitarians who do not believe in the Trinity? Can we call Unitarians Christians? Most certainly not. The creed must continue. A commentator wrote, "If we profess our belief, then we must take notice of our propensity to unbelief and our natural distrust of God." So we must ask a question. If you are professing, "I believe in God," you should understand what you're professing. What is God? Is God the same as man? I think most of us would say, no, of course not. Okay, then what is God? Well, God reveals himself throughout the scriptures. In Exodus 3, God reveals himself as Yahweh. "I am who I am. The God who was, is, and forever will be." In Exodus 33, when Moses asked to see God's glory, we find that God is spirit and does not have a body like men. We read that God is a holy God. Leviticus 19:2, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God reveals his holy character and the law of God in Exodus 20. When Moses asked God from Mount Sinai to show his glory, what does God proclaim? Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty." when you are professing that you believe in God, what do you believe concerning him? God has revealed himself throughout the scriptures. We should be studying his word to know more about who he is and praying that he would help us to grow in faith and knowledge. And so, Peter says at 1 Peter 3:15, "And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." I will challenge you all this afternoon. If you can profess, "I believe in God," what do you mean by that? If someone was to ask you, "What do you mean by God? What is your God like? What are his attributes? What type of God is he?" Can you answer those questions? We have answers to those questions, but do you know them? We just read a few. If you go to the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 2, it summarizes this for us. I would highly suggest you all to get a copy of the Westminster Confession with scriptural proofs underneath. And just go through the scriptural proofs when it talks about all the attributes of God. Look them up in the scriptures and see that it's true for yourself. Study the scriptures. Study who God is. I will challenge you all this year. Let us know what we believe. Because the more we know, God will use that knowledge to strengthen our faith. Because we will know of his character and his love. Well, third, we read here, he's our Father. And we're going to look at John 14, 7 through 11. We read, "I believe in God the Father." And it's here we begin in our profession, stating that there's one God, but now all of a sudden we're being introduced to the Father. So as we know, this is a Trinitarian creed. So there's three persons in the Godhead. And here we're introduced to the Father. So many heresies in the church are Trinitarian in nature. The false creed of no creed but Christ is actually a Unitarian heresy. Jesus is the object of our faith. Of course he is. It's Jesus' work on the cross and his perfect life that saves us. Yes, it is. But the Father is no less part of our salvation. We believe that there is one God in three persons. Each person is co-equal and co-essential members of the Trinity. The Father eternally begets the Son. The Son, who is eternally begotten by the Father, and the Holy Spirit eternally proceeds from the Father and the Spirit, or Father and the Son. Although Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one God, the Father is the source of all our blessings. In Jesus' ministry, Jesus glorified his Father in everything he said and he did. We read this afternoon from John 14, and in verse 7, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you will have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Earlier in this sermon, I mentioned that it was the Father who revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ. And here we learned it's through Jesus that we see the Father. And we learn elsewhere that it's through the Holy Spirit who makes this all happen. Brothers and sisters, a Christian is a Trinitarian Christian. When you make a profession of faith, you are saying that you believe in one God, in three persons, each having a role in your salvation. And here we're talking about God the Father. And this is significant. When we say, I believe in God the Father, we have already, how many words in are we in? I believe in God the Father. 6 words? Whatever it is, if I miscounted. We're 5 or 6 words into the confession, and we have already distinguished ourselves from every single religion in the world. In the world. Islam never, ever speaks on Allah as Father anywhere. From what I've read, there are 99 names for Allah, and Father does not make the list. Only Creator, Master, etc. God, our God, the only true God, He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is sovereign over all things. But for those who call upon Jesus as their Savior, God desires to be known as Father. An intimate, familial relationship. God is referred to be the Father of Jesus, but He is also our Father as He adopts us to be His children if we believe in Jesus through faith. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3:1, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. John continues, Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we should be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Paul says in Romans 8, verses 15 through 17, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that God is your Father? That you are adopted as sons and daughters? That God, although He is God Almighty, if you believe in Jesus, God is your Father. That you may go to Him as you would your earthly father and ask for help. We have a personal God. We were created for a reason, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. God created us so that we can share in His glory. So we have a relationship with Him. God tells us, I will be your God, and you will be my people. So fourth, Almighty, and we'll look at Job 40, verse 6 through 14, and we're going to look at this briefly, and then we're going to look at this word Almighty. I believe in God the Father Almighty. We profess that there is only one God, that this one God is in three persons, co-equally God in power and glory. We profess that the Father is the Father of our Savior, but also the Father, our Father, as adopted children. And that God is Almighty. We will look at this even in further detail next week in the area of creation. But for this afternoon, we rejoice that God is sovereign over all things. He is almighty. We do not serve a small God. We profess that God has supreme power, who decrees everything that comes to pass. We just read this small portion from Job 40. We could actually have read a couple of chapters here near the end where God speaks. Job was questioning God on why things were so. And God responds, Wait a minute, Job. Did you design the world? Did you give me counsel in any way? Did I ask for your help? Does this reality not give us great comfort? I believe that God is almighty, that everything is under his sovereign will. We're going to look more at this next week, so I'm not going to rob from next week's sermon. But let's conclude this afternoon. Let's tie this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Can you all profess this? And I mean you individually. This is not a church profession, it's an individual profession. An individual profession that if you profess by faith grants you salvation in Christ, through Christ, by grace alone, faith alone, and is the admission to the church of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is working faith, saving faith in you, this is the profession of your heart. I believe. As Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have not done this at Stratford yet, but some churches will profess their faith together, where the minister will ask from the pulpit, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you believe? And in unison together, as individuals who make up the Church of Jesus Christ, they will recite the Apostles' Creed. When you read the Apostles' Creed, do you just read the words? Or do you profess them? Do you know what you're saying when you say, I believe? It should be your prayer that the Lord would give you more understanding of who he is, that you would be given more assurance when you profess your faith. Do you know God as your Father? Has the Father revealed the Son to you so that you may see the Father? If not, pray that our Savior would work in your heart by his Spirit. I have been saying this all fall. Theology should not be cold and dead. Theology should lead to doxology, to praise and worship. We are studying the profession of our faith. Does it not bring joy to your heart? Do we come to the Apostles' Creed and go, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Or is it the song of your heart? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Let's study our glorious God together. Let us pray that God would strengthen our faith this winter by using the Apostles' Creed as our guide to study the Word of God, to study the love and mercy of our triune God. Let us rejoice in our Savior who has done this great work. Let us not be ashamed of our profession. We know the truth, God's truth. We are not postmodern. The truth is not subjective. The truth is the Word of God. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Or as Paul says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brothers and sisters, if you are able this afternoon to profess through faith, if you know these things to be true in your heart, let us confess our faith together as the body of Jesus Christ. If you cannot this afternoon say, I believe, please come and talk with me. I would love to talk further with you about God's glorious plan of salvation. If you would please turn with me in your hymnals to page 845. And let us profess our faith together. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow before you this afternoon. Lord, show us your glory. Lord, we proclaim, just like the man with the demon-possessed son, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, help remove any doubts in our hearts that you are God. One God in three persons. That you are our Heavenly Father. That you desire to be a Father to us. To give us good gifts. To lead us like children. We also rejoice that you are Almighty, Sovereign God. We give you praise this afternoon. Lord, we do believe. Help us to testify of this belief to all who ask. We pray that our profession in you would also be our heart's comfort. Lord, you do all things well. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.